Bible, let it be searched, and when ye have it in your hands, let it be given freely unto these two kings, Ban and Bors, that they may reward their knights withal, and that shall cause strangers to be of better will to do you service at need. Also ye be able to reward your own knights of your own goods, when some ever it liketh you. It is well done, quoth Arthur, and as thou hast devised, so shall it be done. When it was delivered to Ban and Bors, they gave the goods as freely to their knights, as freely as it was given to them. Then Merlin took his leave of Arthur and of the two kings, for to go and see his master Bleise, B-L-E-I-S-E, that dwelt in Northumberland. And so he departed and came to his master, that was passing glad of his coming. And there he told how Arthur and the two kings had sped at the great battle, and how it was ended, and told the names of every king and knight of worship that was there. And so Bleise wrote the battle word by word, as Merlin told him how it began, and by whom, and in likewise how it was ended, and who had the worse. All the battles that were done in Arthur's days, Merlin did his master Bleise do right. And that means told his master Bleise to right. Also, he did do right all the battles that every worthy knight did of Arthur's court. Page 42. After this, Merlin departed from his master and came to King Arthur, that was in the castle of Bedegraine, that was one of the castles that stand in the forest of Sherwood. And Merlin was so disguised that King Arthur knew him not, for he was all befurred in black sheepskins, and a great pair of boots, and bow and arrows, in a russet gown, and brought wild geese in his hand. And it was on the morn, after Candlemas Day, but King Arthur knew him not. "Sir," said Merlin unto the king, "will you give me a gift?" "Wherefore," said King Arthur, "should I give thee a gift, Curl?" "Sir," said Merlin, "ye were better to give me a gift that is not in your hand than to lose great riches, for here in the same place there the great battle was, is great treasure hid in the earth." "Who told thee so, churl?" said Arthur. "Merlin told me so," said he. Then Ulfius and Brastias knew him well enough and smiled. "Sir," said these two knights, "it is Merlin, so speak it to you." Then King Arthur was greatly abashed, and had marvel of Merlin, and so had King Ban and King Bors, and so they had great disport at him. So in the meanwhile there came a damosel, meaning maiden, that was an earl's daughter. His name was Sanam, and her name was Lyonors, a passing fair damsel. And so she came thither for to do homage, as other lords did after the great battle. And King Arthur set his love greatly upon her, and so did she upon him. And the king had ado with her, and gat on her a child. His name was Bora, that after a good knight, and of the Round Table. And then there came word that the King Rience of North Wales had made great war on King Leodegrance of Camelard, for which Arthur was wroth, for he loved him well, and hated King Rience, for he was alway against him. So by ordinance of the three kings that were sent home unto Benwick, all they would depart for dread of King Claudius, and Farians, and Antimes, and Gratian, and the Lionses of Payarn, with the leaders of those that should keep the king's lands. Page 43. Chapter 18. How King Arthur, King Ban, and King Bors rescued King Leodegrance, and other incidents. And then King Arthur and King Ban and King Bors departed with their fellowship, 20,000, and came within 6 days into the country of Camelard, and there rescued King Leodegrance, and slew there much people of King Rience, into the number of 10,000 men, and put him to flight. And then had these three kings great cheer of King Leodegrance, that thanked them of their goodness, that they would revenge him of his enemies. And there had Arthur the first sight of Guinevere, the king's daughter of Camelard, and after he loved her. After they were wedded, as it telleth in the book. So briefly, to make an end, they took their leave to go into their own countries, for King Claudas did great destruction on their lands. Then said Arthur, I will go with you. Nay, said the kings, you shall not at this time, for ye have much to do yet in these lands. Therefore we will depart, and with the great goods that we have gotten in these lands by your gifts, we shall wage, and wage meaning pay, good knights, we shall wage good knights and withstand the King Claudas's malice, for by the grace of God, and we have need, we shall send to you for your succor. And if ye have need, send for us, and we will not tarry by the faith of our bodies. It shall not, said Merlin, need these two kings come again in the way of war. But I know well, King Arthur may not be long from you, for within a year or two ye shall have great need, and then shall he revenge you on your enemies, as ye have done on his. Page 44. For these 11 knights shall die all in a day, as by the great might and prowess of arms of two valiant knights, as it telleth after, their names be Balin le Savage and Balon his brother, that be marvelous good knights, as be any living. Now turn me to the 11 kings that returned unto a city that hight Sorhout, the which city was within King Urien's, and there they refreshed them as well they might, and made leeches, leeches meaning physicians, made leeches search their wounds, and sorrowed greatly for the death of their people. With that there came a messenger, and told how there was common into their lands people that were lawless as well as Saracens, of 40,000, and have burnt and slain all the people that they may come by without mercy, and have laid siege on the castle of Wandesboro. Alas, said the 11 kings, here is sorrow upon sorrow, and if we had not warred against Arthur as we have done, he would soon revenge us, for as King Leodegrance, he loveth Arthur better than us, and as for King Rience, he hath enough to do with Leodegrance, for he hath laid siege unto him. So they consented together to keep all the marches of Cornwall, of Wales, and of the north. So first they put King Indris in the city of Nantes in Brittany with 4,000 men of arms to watch both the water and the land. Also they put in the city of Windestan King Nance of Garlo with 4,000 knights to watch both on the water and the land. And also they had of other men of war more than 8,000 for to fortify all the fortresses in the marches of Cornwall. Also they put more knights in all the marches of Wales and Scotland with many good men of arms, and they kept them together the space of 3 years, and ever allied them with mighty kings and dukes and lords. And to them fell King Rience of North Wales, the which was a mighty man of men, and Nero that was a mighty man of men. And all this while they furnished them and garnished them with good men of arms and victual, and of all manner of habiliment that pretendeth meaning pertains, to the war, to avenge them for the battle of Bedegraine, as it telleth in the book of adventures following. Page 45. Chapter 19. How King Arthur rode to Caerleon, and of his dream, and how he saw the questing beast. Then, after the departing of King Ban and King Bors, King Arthur rode unto Caerleon, and thither came to him King Lot's wife of Orkney, in manner of a message. But she was sent thither to espy the court of King Arthur, and she came richly beseen with her four sons, Gawain, Gaheris, Agravain, and Gareth, with many other knights and ladies. For she was a passing fair lady, wherefore the king cast great love unto her, and desired to lie by her. So they were agreed, and he begat upon her Mordred, and she was his sister, on the mother's side, Ingraine. So there she rested her a month, and at last departed. Then the king dreamed a marvelous dream, whereof he was sore adread. But all this time King Arthur knew not that King Lot's wife was his sister. Thus was the dream of Arthur. Him thought there was come into this land griffins and serpents, and him thought they burnt and slew all the people in the land. And then him thought he fought with them, and they did him passing great harm and wounded him full sore. But at last he slew them. When the king awaked, he was passing heavy of his dream, and so, to put it out of thoughts, he made him ready with many knights to ride on hunting. As soon as he was in the forest, the king saw a great hart afore him. "This hart will I chase," said King Arthur. And so he spurred the horse and rode after long, and so by fine force oft he was like to have smitten the hart. Page 46. Whereas the king had chased the hart so long that his horse had lost breath and fell down dead, then a yeoman fetched the king another horse. So the king saw the hart ambushed and his horse dead. He set him down by a fountain, and there he fell in great thoughts. And as he sat so, him thought he heard a noise of hounds to the sum of 30. And with that the king saw coming toward him the strangest beast that ever he saw or heard of. So the beast went to the well and drank. And the noise was in the beast's belly, like unto the questing of 30 couple hounds. But all the while the beast drank, there was no noise in the beast's belly. And therewith the beast departed, with a great noise, whereof the king had great marvel. And so he was in a great thought, and therewith he fell asleep. Right so there came a knight afoot unto Arthur, and said, "Knight full of thought and sleepy, tell me if thou sawest a strange beast pass this way." "Such one I saw," said King Arthur, "that is past 2 mile. What would ye with the beast?" said Arthur. "Sir, I have followed that beast long time, and killed mine horse, so would God I had another to follow my quest." Right so came one with the king's horse, and when the knight saw the horse, he prayed the king to give him the horse. "For I have followed this quest 12 month, and either I shall achieve him, or bleed of the best blood of my body." Pellinore, that time king, followed the questing beast, and after his death Sir Palamedes followed it. Page 47. Chapter 20. How King Pellinore took Arthur's horse and followed the questing beast, and how Merlin met with Arthur. "Sir knight," said the king, "lead that quest, and suffer me to have it, and I will follow it another 12 month." "Ah, fool," said the knight unto Arthur, "it is in vain thy desire, for it shall never be achieved but by me, or my next kin." Therewith he start into the king's horse, and mounted into the saddle, and said, "Gramercy, this horse is my own." "Well," said the king, "thou mayst take mine horse by force, but... and I might prove thee whether thou were better on horseback or I." And here there's a footnote 1, and footnote 1 reads, "The sense is obviously defective here. A better reading is found in W. Quote, but, and I might prove it, I would wit whether thou were better, ellipsis, end quote. Return to text. "Well," said the knight, "seek me here when thou wilt, and here nigh this well thou shalt find me," and so passed on his way. Then the king sat in study, and bade his men fetch his horse as fast as ever they might. Right so came by him Merlin, like a child of 14 year of age, and saluted the king, and asked him why he was so pensive. "I may well be pensive," said the king, "for I have seen the marvellous sight that ever I saw." "That know I well," said Merlin, "as well as thyself, and of all thy thoughts. But thou art a fool to take thought, for it will not amend thee. Also I know what thou art, and who was thy father, and of whom thou were begotten. King Uther Pendragon was thy father, and begat thee on Igraine." "That is false," said King Arthur. "How shouldst thou know it? For thou art not so old of years to know my father." "Yes," said Merlin, "I know it better than ye or any man living." "I will not believe thee," said Arthur, and was wroth with the child. So departed Merlin, and came again in the likeness of an old man of 80 year of age, whereof the king was right glad, for he seemed to be right wise. Then said the old man, "Why are you sad?" "I may well be heavy," said Arthur, "for many things."